my name is Beth Revis. I'm the author of Rebel Rising, and welcome to Star Wars Fives.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Episode 3 of Star Wars Ties Presents Lando's Luxurious Library. I'm your host, Jameson, and I am very excited to yet again be digging into another book with you guys from the old canon. As I've said in the past two episodes, the primary focus of Lando's Luxurious Library is to give me an opportunity to share with you some really great books from the old expanded universe, which is now known as the Legends universe, of the Star Wars expanded universe books. While they are no longer considered canon with the Star Wars movies, they are still great stories. They put our favorite characters, in many cases, in truly interesting and compelling scenarios that now, you know, we just get to enjoy as side stories. So I hope that you are enjoying Lando's Luxurious Library episodes as much as I am. And without further ado, let's go ahead and head into Lando's Luxurious Library.
Welcome, I'm Lando Calrissian. I'm the administrator of this facility.
Would you join me for a little refreshment?
Everyone's invited, of course.
Hey, Lando, thank you so much for letting us in. I appreciate you opening the door this time. So, Lando, what are we going to be reading today?
Hello, what have we here?
Oh, really? Now that sounds like a very interesting book. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to be reading a book called Death Troopers by Joe Schreiber. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background information about this book before we dig too far into it. First off, I need to throw in a spoiler alert before I start talking about the book. So here's the spoiler alert.
Warning.
Spoiler alert. First off, I want to describe kind of where Death Troopers lands in the timeline. So if you are looking at the Legends Universe timeline, most of it is based on the Battle of Yavin, and it's related to the BBY, or before the Battle of Yavin, or the ABY, after Battle of Yavin. So when we talk about books in the Legends era, we are primarily focusing on whether or not they are before the Battle of Yavin or after it. In this particular case, Death Troopers supposedly takes place about 1 year before the Battle of Yavin. So it is still considered in the Rise of the Empire era of the old Legends books. And it is arguably a very interesting standalone book because it really doesn't incorporate very many of the classic characters. In fact, there's only a few references to Darth Vader within the book. It's really focused on characters that are in this particular story. So it is very much a standalone novel. And I'm going to also go ahead and tell you, if you are a fan of the genre of horror, then this book is going to be right up your alley, especially if you are a fan of zombies. So I'll go ahead and put it up there before we even read the dust jacket and dig into the book. This is a Star Wars book with zombies, and really interesting to kind of dig into a book that really fits within the horror genre just as much as the Star Wars, you know, space opera genre itself. Now, I originally picked this book to be part of the Summer of Stormtroopers series. So, ladies and gentlemen, while we are in Lando's Luxurious Library, we are also still in the Summer of Stormtroopers series.
There's one. Set for stun.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
Hey, you! Identify yourself.
There's no one here.
Incoming fire! Get cover!
Stop that ship! Blast them!
Open the blast doors! Open the blast doors! Do you know what's going on?
It's them! Blast them! Move along.
Since the book was titled Death Troopers and the cover itself has a picture of a stormtrooper helmet with a massive iron hook that's attached to a bunch of chains cut through the eye hole of one of the stormtrooper's eyes with blood splatters all over, it definitely gave the compelling impression that we were going to be dealing with stormtroopers. So it was originally purchased for that purpose, and while there are stormtroopers in it, I'll go ahead and be candid with you, this is a part of our Summer of Stormtroopers series. but it is not necessarily exclusively about stormtroopers, much like some of the other things that we are trying to address in the series. Now, as I said, it takes place 1 year before the Battle of Yavin. I've also told you that it was written by an author by the name of Joe Schreiber. Joe Schreiber is not a stranger to writing horror books. In fact, many of the books that are credited to him are actually, for lack of a better word, scary stories or books focused on horror or even in particular zombies. They seem to be a common theme for him. However, he has written more than one or two Star Wars books, which is also very exciting. Beyond Death Troopers, he also wrote a book called Maul Lockdown, which is obviously a story probably preceding Episode 1 that focuses on Darth Maul. I've not read it, though I've heard a lot of things about it that are really good. And he also wrote a Star Wars Legends book called Red Harvest, which I looked into just a little bit. Apparently it also involves a zombie-like character, but involves more of Jedi and Sith as opposed to the Stormtroopers or Imperial side of things that we see in Death Troopers. And most recently, he wrote the junior novelization of Solo, A Star Wars Story, which is really awesome. So thank you, Joe Schreiber, for contributing so many books to the Star Wars Legends and New Canon. And listeners, as we dig into the book, I'm going to go ahead and flip over to the dust jacket to give you a little bit of information about the book itself. So I'm reading the dust jacket, which is the back of the book. When the Imperial prison barge Purge, temporary home to 500 of the galaxy's most ruthless killers, rebels, scoundrels, and thieves, breaks down in a distant part of space, its only hope appears to lie with a Star Destroyer found drifting and seemingly abandoned. But when a boarding party from the Purge is sent to scavenge for parts, only half of them come back, bringing with them a horrific disease so lethal that within hours nearly all aboard the Purge die in ways too hideous to imagine. And death is only the beginning. The Purge's half-dozen survivors will do whatever it takes to stay alive, but nothing can prepare them for what lies waiting aboard the Star Destroyer. For the dead are rising, soulless, unstoppable, and unspeakably hungry. Dun, dun, dun! So as I said, this is a Star Wars book about zombies. It is just fantastic, especially if you are a zombie fan and a Star Wars fan combined. So I wanted to give you a little bit of information, just like I always do. This book was published on October 26th, 2010, by Del Rey, which I'm learning as I dig more into this is a branch of Random House or Penguin Random House. So definitely a larger publishing company with Random House, but Del Rey is the major publication of the Star Wars books, also Ballantine books for some of the older ones, even beyond older than this one. Since this one was published in 2010, it was published on October 26th, according to Penguin Random House. I believe it published digitally about a week earlier, maybe 10 days. And as you can see, it was released in October, which kind of gives more to that indication that it's a horror book, kind of appealing to the Halloween crowd or the Halloween vibe that usually the month of October provides us. The primary characters in this book are Captain Jareth Santoris, who is a captain of the guard within the ship The Purge, the Imperial Barge. Kale Longo and Trig Longo, both teenagers that are prisoners on the ship. Waste, which is a 2-1B droid. And Dr. Zara Cody. Those are the primary characters. There are also two additional surprise characters that pop in that become more primary characters as we go. In many cases, in this particular book, the secondary characters are pretty much all of the guards and prisoners that are mentioned. So, you know, at one point or another, you get a random guard who makes a few appearances and becomes what you would consider a secondary character or even the warden of the ship. But since in many cases they become, you know, zombies, as the book continues, they cease to become a individual character that you know a lot about. So there's a lot of secondary characters that I could name, but it would be better for you just to read the book and kind of get a feel for how long they are actually, you know, considered valuable characters to the plot of the book. Now, the primary setting for this book is the Imperial prison barge, The Purge, and consequently, immediately afterwards, the derelict Star Destroyer that is just kind of hanging out floating near wild space. So what ends up happening as we dump into the actual book is that it begins on the Purge. We are kind of being introduced through chapters to Jareth Santoris. We get introduced to Trig and Kale Longo. and we get introduced to Zyra Cody. Now, we understand by being introduced to these three groups of characters pretty early on and coming from their perspective that they're going to be our protagonists, or at least the characters that the story is primarily about. And that also provides us a little bit of information that it's unlikely that within the immediacy of the book they're going to be, you know, quickly snuffed out. And that's definitely the case. For a good large portion of the book, these characters are telling us their story. So we get to hear from Dr. Zyra Cody. We get to hear from Trigg or Kale Longo. And we get to hear from Jareth Santoris. We do not get to hear from Waste's perspective, but Waste is an assistant droid to Dr. Zyra Cody, so he makes several appearances within the book as well. After we've been introduced to the characters, we start to get, you know, the plot begins to thicken and continue over into furthering experiences, and we learn that the Purge, the ship, faces engine failure as it is traveling through space, and the Warden calls in all of the captains or the upper levels of the guard and says, "We have good news and bad news. The bad news is that the engines have failed and we don't understand why. The good news is that we are fortunate enough that there is a derelict or abandoned Imperial Star Destroyer kind of hanging out not far from us, so we're going to connect and dock with it through sublights, and we're going to send you guys over to scavenge for parts. So we're going to send a couple of engineers, a couple stormtroopers, and a few of the higher-up Imperial officers that are guards for the prisoners. And then you can go, when you get the parts, just come back and we'll fix the ship and keep on going." Well, it obviously sets the stage for why is this Imperial Star Destroyer abandoned and just floating, because they are out in a very abandoned part of space. In the old EU, this was known as wild space or uncharted regions or the unknown regions, all of which are fairly similar names and are synonymous for the areas of the galaxy where hyperspace lanes are not necessarily well maintained because they aren't traveled very much. So they are considered the wild areas where a lot of shady or darker things could happen. That's part of the reason the Imperials were sending the prison barge along this path, because it is not a major traveled path, and they are probably traveling to a backworld planet that's going to be used as a prison planet, which is exactly what they were doing. So anyway, the Warden sends Captain Santoris, Jareth Santoris, who we've been introduced to, and a select crew to gather parts from the Star Destroyer to repair the Purge. While they are on the Star Destroyer, the crew, totaling 10, splits into two groups of 5. One group comes back. That's Jareth Santoris' group. The other group does not. Now, while they are over there, you know, Jareth Santoris goes with a couple of engineers and a couple of his officers, and they are digging through, you know, different parts of the ship to try to steal what they need in order to repair the Purge. He sends the other group just to kind of explore and see perhaps why the ship itself was abandoned, and perhaps discover what may or may not have happened to the crew that was on board. As I said, Jareth Santoris' group makes it back. The other group does not. Now, within Jareth Santoris' group, even as they are getting into the connection tunnel that, you know, bridges the two ships together, that he's already noticing that some of his co-workers or some of the people that he brought with him are coughing and hacking and acting like they've got some sort of a cold or a sickness. And he sends them to the med bay, and he just goes back to his room to take a nap. Well, while they're in the med bay, they quickly become very ill, to the point where they start dying. And within a matter of a few hours, the sickness has spread airborne throughout the entire ship and basically started to kill everybody. Now, of course, they went to the med bay, which is where Dr. Zyra Cody is, and she finds out that Jareth Santoris was one of the characters that had gone over there, and actually sends to have him quarantined in case he indeed is infected as well. Oddly enough, he is one of the few that seems to be immune to this particular sickness, as is she. Now, what is very interesting is that there is a backstory that I'm not going to go into because I want you to read the book and kind of get some of the story yourself, but there is some animosity between Zyra Cody and Jareth Santoris that's related around a prisoner and Dr. Cody's relationship to actually helping the prisoners with their physical health. And she kind of has, you know, an outsider's view of the prisoner guards and everything like that, because she's actually compassionate towards the people that she's working with, because she's a doctor, and the guards do not share that compassion. Now, once the sickness has spread through the ship, it pretty much kills everybody. And within a few hours, like I said, the entire ship is pretty much just wiped out. Everybody is dead. So what we notice is that, you know, Jareth Santoris has survived, Dr. Zara Cody has survived, and as I indicated earlier, Trigg and Kale Longo have survived as well. And so that leaves us with four major characters that can start to travel around the ship. And, you know, they're able to get out of their prison cell and meet up with Santoris. And as they try to meet up with Santoris, they're both all trying to get on a escape pod to leave. And Santoris basically tricks them into not getting on the escape pod, which means that he is supposedly escapes on his own. And then the two prisoners are left to end up meeting with Dr. Zara Cody, as well as two prisoners that she released from solitary confinement, because since they were in solitary confinement, which was airlocked and separated from the rest of the ship, those two prisoners had not faced the virus. Now, Waste, the 2-1-B droid that was helping Dr. Cody, analyzed all of the patients as they were in the medbay and realized that they were contracting a virus. And he was able to develop an antivirus vial, which he shared with Dr. Cody. And when she went down to solitary confinement to release the two prisoners that were down there, she gives them the antivirus, which allows them to be immune to the disease as well. Now, these five survivors on the Purge begin to start to meet up each other on the ship and try to figure out where they're going to go. They're trying to go out of the other escape pod. There are two escape pods, and they, of course, all can't fit in it, but they haven't decided how they're going to sort that out yet. Their primary goal is just to get out of the ship, because they've started to notice that all of the dead bodies that have been strewn all over the ship because of the prisoners dying in their cells or the guards dying at their posts have disappeared, and they don't understand how they could have disappeared. And that's because they've become zombies and they've started to move on their own. So this leads to the realization that they are being hunted by these zombies, because obviously the zombies want to eat them. So they flee, and the only place that they can flee to is the derelict Star Destroyer that they are still attached to. So they flee into the Star Destroyer, and when they do so, they're able to seal off the Purge, at least temporarily, so that they can begin to explore the Star Destroyer. Now, the problem is Dr. Cody knows that this very Star Destroyer is where the virus came from. So, of course, they're immune, but now they are facing whatever is in the Star Destroyer. And what you find out is that the Star Destroyer, which has between 8 and 10,000 crew members, holds all of those crew members now as zombies. So it becomes very much a cat and mouse run, chase, flee, try to hide, try to find a solution to getting off of the Star Destroyer as well. And one of the things that they uncover, again, I'm not going to share everything, but one of the things that they uncover is that the tractor beam for this Star Destroyer had been turned on. So even if they had tried to flee in the escape pod like Santoris did, Captain Santoris, they would have ended up in the Star Destroyer anyway, which is what happens to Jareth Santoris, as he ends up being forced into the Star Destroyer himself and ends up meeting back up with Dr. Cody, the two teenage prisoners, and the two prisoners that she released from solitary confinement. So they all are interacting with each other as they're trying to get out of this Imperial Star Destroyer, and the primary way that they're going to be able to do that is to first turn off the tractor beam and then try to steal one of the ships that had been captured by the tractor beam as it had randomly traveled through this wild space area. So that's kind of how the plot continues, and whether or not they survive, who does and who does not, I will leave up to you as listeners. What I do want you to understand is that this is an absolutely fast read book. I started it only a couple of days ago, and it was amazingly quick. I was able to get through it so fast because A, it is only about 300 pages long, and B, it just moves. I mean, the story just compels you. You want to know when they meet the zombies. You want to know after they meet the zombies what the zombies are like. You want to follow the protagonists and get them out to safety. You want to see how they survive the various situations that Joe Schreiber writes them in. And I mean, guys, it's just an awesome read from top to bottom, beginning to end, cover to cover. So I highly recommend Star Wars Death Troopers by Joe Schreiber, especially if you are a fan of Star Wars and zombies. I do want to throw a little bit of a warning out there. This book does have, you know, it's not graphic to the point where, you know, you're sick to your stomach. But if you are not a big fan of descriptive horror in terms of, you know, hearing about how zombies actually work and look like and things like that, this might not be up your alley. It's definitely geared more towards, you know, older kids or adults, not younger children. But it is a really good read, and I highly recommend it. So, guys, I hope that you enjoyed my review of Star Wars Death Troopers. I tried to leave as much vagueness in there as I could so that you're compelled to read it and find out who some of the characters are as far as their personalities, and also how they might or might not escape from this derelict Star Destroyer. Because, like I said, this is a standalone book. There's not a lot of connections to any of the other Star Wars universe, except where it lands in the timeline. And most of the characters that we meet are not in any way, shape, or form connected. So it's definitely a great, great read. And it's got a lot in it that I have not mentioned. So I really encourage you to go read it yourselves. And, of course, let me know what you think. You know, I want to know, again, whether or not you like Lando's luxurious library, but also what you think about Death Troopers and its contribution to the Summer of Stormtroopers series. So I'm very interested to hear what you have to say, just like I hope you're interested in these reviews. So the best ways to reach us are through Facebook, which, of course, is www.facebook.com/groups/StarWarsTies. You can email us at StarWarsTiesPodcast@gmail.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes or any of your other podcast feeds, such as Spotify or Google Play or iHeartRadio, of which we are all a part of. You can call us at 828-331-1873 and leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. Guys, I want to make sure that I am catering these podcast episodes to you as the listeners so that I can get more and more listeners involved. So please let me know how we're doing. Please let me know, you know, what books you might want me to review. And, you know, don't be afraid to give a little bit of feedback to us as we dig deeper into the old canon through Lando's luxurious library. So,
Would you get going, you pirate? Good luck.
Yes, Lando. As is usually the case, you're just ready to kick us out as quick as possible. Man, you even slammed the door on me. Well, guys, I guess Lando sent us out. So today, I think it's safe to say that we will be flying away from Lando's luxurious library in our own personal Imperial Star Destroyers. So as I leave in mine, I let you to leave in yours. May the Force be with you.